Well, so what should we talk about? Oh, good.
Yes, okay.
Just use this.
Interesting. Well, it is what it is. Oh, here.
So, my husband and I, Craig, we've been on a journey of mindfulness through the form of marriage counseling. It's as mindful as you can be, in my opinion. So, as we are working out the issues between us, it's become very obvious, as our counselor has been pointing out, that you have to work on yourself, self first, before you can work on that union. So I am struggling, but that self, what is self? It is in my face more so than I've ever have it's ever been before in my life. The question, the philosophy, the identity, the attachment, the detachment, the suffering, the everything about self is so present right now that I'm struggling. I'm struggling with that question as to what is self. And if you have any, well, I'm looking for, I don't know what I'm looking for specifically, but I need it to be put into a in this context, and that's why I'm here, to come back to this context to help me as I move forward in identifying that. So that's why I'm here.
Oh, what a great thing for us to talk about together. So, well, why don't we start with you telling me a little bit more about what you, you said you're struggling with the question of self. And I'd say what you're doing is you're confronting the issue of what the self is. And
Hello?
yeah.
Okay, so it comes in this form. All present actions are being driven by past experiences.
Yes.
I'm very can I see it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember when I was such and such an age or this experience. So I know that what I'm experiencing now isn't in the present moment, or I'm present with it, but I'm aware, very aware, that it is being influenced by something from the past. So I'm able to almost identify it without it really being me. So as that has occurred, more and more things that I identify or thought I identified with now, as to who I thought I was now,
Right.
are it's not real. It's so, like, one example is what's one example? Oh, like, if I'm attracted to another person, it's because I have issues with my parents and this, and this. And it's true. There's some truth to that, and I know that. So I think part of the as it comes up, I identify it, and I know I don't need it, or it's not serving me now. I think the confrontation or the conflict that I'm having is there's a void. There's a big void. And then I don't really know what am I going to be identifying with now that all those past experiences of which I thought were part of who I am right now begin to fade away. So does that make sense?
So let me say it back to you. So what you're experiencing is you're realizing that, if you look at yourself objectively, you are all these different patterns of behavior, these different predispositions to act and react in particular ways, and not just physically or verbally, but also your emotions and thoughts that come up as a result of certain things. And you're realizing that that's what you are, is this collection of patterns of behavior. And then when you look at it more closely, you find out they're the results of things that happened in the past. And so that this self that you always thought, well, you know, I am, this is the way I am. I am this kind of monolithic entity, and this is my essence. I have these particular characteristics. And now all of those are kind of dissolving into just the effects of old conditioning. Yeah.
There's right. Nothing for them to attach to anymore.
So now, you feel a void where that solid sense of being somebody once was.
Yes, because my actions or thought processes are what I thought defined who I was.
Yeah.
But now I realize that they're not serving me in any capacity mm-hmm. in the current moment, and as I've moved forward and as I reveal these things. So again, maybe it's being maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but the sense
jump.
I have is that, right, I should just jump. But I can feel the fear and the desire to just cling and to hold mm-hmm. on to these truths that are kind of slipping through my fingers,
right,
if you will, as I let go.
Right.
Is that appropriate?
Yes, I think that's very appropriate. So, well, what you're seeing what you really are. I mean, as a person, as an individual, you're seeing what you really are, rather than what you had always assumed that you were. Right, the nature of what you really are is different than you had always assumed it to be, and getting used to that, that is somewhat uncomfortable. Maybe more than somewhat at times. So there is, of course, the part of you that says, well, can that really be all that I am? Surely there must be, somewhere in there must be the real me. And if that's all that I am, then what am I really? Well, there's another part to this too. Okay, so this is a wonderful thing to look at. It's a wonderful thing to become aware of, even though it doesn't feel so wonderful at the time. But what you can see from this, first of all, is that you have to realize that the fact that the person that manifests in each moment is in fact the product of your past experiences. But one of the implications of that is that it can change. If you were somehow this monolithic self, then there might really be no way to change who you are. And you've already said that some of these things that you are aren't serving you. Okay, so this is the good side. If they are the result of past conditioning, then they can be changed. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And that's so that you just have to get used to the reality that we are. The basic lesson of the Dharma, Anicca, there are no things, there is only process, there is only change. Okay? So you've discovered that you are a process, a continuously changing process. And what you are in any particular moment, if you look at the history of your life, what you were in that any particular moment was the result of the process that had led up to that moment. And that's what you are now. Okay, so this is your real nature. Okay.
So with that being said, it has felt for a long time very stagnant, or the momentum to reach this point was very like slow or ignored or shunned or, you know, put down. I mean, we do this all the time, right? If stuff comes up, you don't want to deal with it, just put it away for another day kind of thing. So in this particular instance, I have felt the, support from Craig and my family and from others around, and just intuitively also, that the process is picking up momentum, and it is something that is and it's almost that if I don't do it now, in this moment, or in this span of time, that it'll go away. I guess that's mm-hmm. kind of so. It's that ability to keep it. To keep this process of recognizing and letting go of these things, to keep it going.
Yes.
To keep the fire ignited, if you will. Yes. And oftentimes I seek things out to stoke the fire mm-hmm. in order to enable me to keep going, because it's always changing. And that's the thing, is I can't fix. The emotions are fleeting. The thoughts are, you can just kind of see that, and I can't hold on to them because I know they're going to be gone in mm-hmm. 5 seconds, 5 days. It doesn't matter. But what I do know to be true is that coming here and practice has enabled me to have the tools in order to make this more effective than it could have been had I not been prepared mm-hmm. many times ago. This whole thing has probably been going on all my life, but I wasn't really prepared to face it. So I think that that's the other part. I think just to verbalize that acknowledgement that I am ready and it is happening right now. So
yes, that part is exactly right. And you identified right at the beginning what it is that makes the difference is the mindfulness. Yeah, because you're right. Your whole life, your entire life, your mind has been constructing an idea of who you were, and of who the world was, and of your relationship with the world. And it started out, imagine yourself as a tiny little infant, and you didn't have any of that yet. But as your experiences began to accumulate, your mind did what your mind was constructed to do. It began to take all your different experiences and make sense of them. And it created a sense of who you are. And by the time you were 3 or 4 years old, that was starting to become fairly consolidated into an image of who you were, and your understanding of the world kept on evolving, and both kept on evolving ever since then. So, but the thing with any story the mind makes up to explain something that it doesn't truly know the nature of, there's always flaws and gaps in the story. So you're right. Those have been there your entire life. But they were, you know, they came and they went, and they might have given you a few moments of wondering, you know, what was really going on. But you were too busy with living your life to give them any more attention to that. What's changed is that you have mindfulness. And so when those events happen, now you know about them. Now you're focused on them. You know, and Leonard Cohen spent a long time in a Zen monastery, and he's been interested in these very same things his whole life. And he's subtly woven a lot of these things into the poetry that he sets to music and calls his songs. And he talks about this. You know, he says, ring the bells that still can ring. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets through. So these are the cracks, okay?
Okay.
All right, so, yeah. These are the cracks. And now because of mindfulness, you can see them. And you're right, there are, now if I interpreted correctly what you're saying, in your experience now, you're finding there's even clearer and deeper, more profound realizations happening, but they come and go quickly. You can't hold on to them, mm-hmm. Right? And that's really the why when people talk about mindfulness, they're always stressing being in the present, because you can't hold on to these things. You've got to be there. You've got to be already mindful when they arise, so that you can be mindful as they occur, and then when they go, you will have already, mm-hmm. you'll have already learned what they were there to teach you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, your mind has operated on a particular you've held a worldview your whole life that is being undermined by what you're realizing right now, particularly to do with the nature of who you are. And in some ways, I'm sure that feels for you as if you don't have the same solidity that you once stood on. The ground beneath your feet is starting to dissolve, and that's what happens when, you know, a house is built on a false foundation. You have to replace the foundation. It's a bit of a traumatic process. Right. But part of it too is having available to you as clear as possible this greater truth that you're trying to replace this lesser truth with. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you're seeing the part that you are a process, and you're constantly changing, and what you are right now, if you look at how on Sunday, May 17th, you behave, and how Monday, May 18th, you behave, you're going to see that, these are all tendencies that have been built up, and I didn't choose them, because I didn't know it was happening. Because the whole time I thought that I was this solid self who was just reacting to the things that happened to me. It didn't occur to me that every time I reacted to what happened to me, I was creating who I would be in the future. But now you know that. Now you know that. And this is the other thing, this is the other application to put mindfulness towards. is looking at how you are. It helps sometimes to know how you came to have particular tendencies, but very fortunately it's not necessary, because it's not as simple as I do this because this happened. Actually, I do this because this happened, and then something similar happened then, and then this happened, and that happened, and they all added up together to make me this way. And as a matter of fact, if I look at each of one of those things that I see as a more immediate source of the conditioning for I am now, well, of course, they were in turn the result of all kinds of. So you're when you can see something clearly, like the example that you mentioned, that's great. But fortunately, you don't need to understand it all that way, because it would be it'd take you too many thousands of lifetimes of introspection to ever figure out how you got to be today. And of course, by then you'd be somebody totally different anyway. So.
So, well, and that's true, because I feel no, I have no desire to fully comprehend the why, because in the moment that I'm realizing my response or my reaction based on a pattern, it's almost though I feel detached, and it sort of like releases to me. It's like for this. So when Craig and I are in an argument, for instance, and if we are mindful about what we're arguing about, it's not who flushed the toilet. Mm-hmm. It has to do with respect or, you know, that sort of thing. And you can tell as we're discussing, there's like a crescendo, and there's a pattern, but at the end of it, it's done. We don't have any feelings attached to it anymore.
Wonderful.
We've resolved the issue, and then it just goes away. It's sort of like blowing dust out of your hand, you know? And so if what I'm hearing you say is that in this process, if I'm just being mindful of what comes in and then it goes out, that I'm not obligated in that freedom, or not, maybe not freedom, but I don't feel any intellectual obligation to fully understand, like, why. Like, because I think that pulls me out of being mindful, and it makes it more like I'm trying to really try too hard to figure this out. Like, I don't feel that I've had to do too much of that.
Great.
Only though, there's been a couple of times when I have to try to help maybe Craig understand where I'm coming from, because if he doesn't, it's about how can he relate.
Yeah.
And then I have to explain it and try to mold it and craft it so that he can see what I'm talking about or understand it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just, it's just my process. Mm-hmm. Just let me go through it and be, and you just watch. Just witness that. Don't try to make it turn into something that it's not, so that you can understand. Right. So, but I wanted to come back to what you were saying about how when, as these things or these patterns, or we'll call them patterns, clear out, and I'm mindful of that, and I am not interested or feel it won't it's just as things fill those voids, or I'm not even quite sure if I'm using the right term, but is it so that, well, what I'm trying to say, I don't want to bring bad stuff in again. Yeah. There's a bit of fear or apprehension, maybe that if I've messed up before, what is to say that I will not mess up again? Not the same pattern per se, but it might be something that would look the same. But I guess that's probably a false truth. Because that might be a pattern for me.
Well, yes, right. Well, there is some truth in it that, you know, if you've messed up before, you might mess up again. But there's a difference between, and when we say mess up, you know, let's say you
mistake.
Well, the thing is that what your mindfulness is doing is first of all, it's making you aware that there's all kinds of different ways that you could possibly respond to things than the one that you habitually have, right? Right. Okay. So, and of course, every time in the past that you habitually responded the same way, just reinforced the pattern, made it stronger. Okay, so now you see choices, and there's no guarantee that of the new choices that you have available to you, that the one that you will choose is going to be the best possible choice of all of those. As a matter of fact, if you can see four different ways of reacting to the situation, you know, the one you usually did and three others, you only have a 30% chance of picking the best one. But you're in a really good place to at least pick a better one. And then that's one that's going to help set a new pattern, but it doesn't have the history of all these other past events, you know, making it so firmly established. So if you continue to be mindful, then the next time you might see that, okay, there's a better way to respond than that one as well. In other words, you're evolving. Let's go back to this picture that we made of who you are as a person. You're a person who consists of all these predispositions and tendencies as a result of all of your different experiences. But there's been two parts to every process. There's been what happened to you, and then there's how you responded to it. So that's the thing that is so unique about us, is that our behavior isn't hardwired. We are self-creating entities. You are the product equally of what has happened to you and of how you've responded to it. And the two interact, and they strongly influence how you're going to behave in the future, which then further forms you. But what you're discovering now is that of the process that made you who you are, there's one part of that process. You're very limited in how well you can control what happens to you. But through mindfulness and through being aware of more opportunities and through seeing more clearly what's actually happening in the moment, you can play a much more positive and powerful role in the way that you form yourself in the future. And that's what's happening. It happened kind of by accident all the way along for so very long, because you didn't really recognize what was going on, and you had a false notion that you already had a self nature, that this was my nature, this is who I am, right, and now you see, well, that's not true. You see, it's a creative. There's a wonderful word. It means self-organizing, autopoiesis. So P-O-E-I-S-I-S. And I like to make a pun out of that and say that we are a self-organizing process. So we are autopoiesis in action. But I like to make a pun out of that and say, we are auto-poetry. You and your life are actually a creation that you are an active participant in that creation. And all of the things that you've discovered now are allowing you to to be the kind of active participant in that creation that that you'd like to be. So you, and this is where, see, this is where the rest of the Dharma comes in. Well, you already understand the role that meditation plays and the incredible power that you have that you never had before because of mindfulness. But a lot of the rest of it is providing guidelines to help understand the right understanding, you know, which is basically, this is more conceptualizations of how reality is, but they're conceptualizations of how reality is in a form that helps us do exactly what you want to do, which is to become the person that you want to be. Then there's right thought and right intention, and that's bringing it out of the intellectual realm of reading a book and thinking about it or listening to a Dharma talk or something, to actually applying your mindfulness to your thoughts and emotions as they arise, and clearly distinguishing those that are harmful, unwholesome, unhelpful, from those that are beneficial and that move you in the direction that you want to go. So that when you find yourself, when you find yourself in an emotional state and with thoughts that have to do with grasping and clinging and desire, you can recognize those and you can choose to let go of those, and you can with practice, you can even begin to shift those in the direction of generosity and loving kindness and away from selfishness. The same thing when you're feeling anger, aversion, you can recognize those thoughts and you can, there are those feelings in those thoughts. And by recognizing them, you can begin to choose not to entertain them, not to reinforce them, not to let them just keep on doing their thing, but not only rob them of their momentum, but with a little time and practice, actually replace them with patience and understanding and compassion for the person, for the circumstances, and even for whatever it was that you did that you're mad at yourself about, right? And you can replace those. And so this is, you are probably not somebody that's very prone to thoughts and feelings of violence or harming someone else, but in that, if ever those thoughts do come up, you know, like I'd really like to punch that guy out, or you know, something like that. Yeah, it's the same thing. You just, you know, you recognize that for what it is, and say, even holding this thought, even allowing this thought, entertaining and allowing it to be there, is harming me. Let go of that, and then the rest of it is right speech, right action, and right livelihood, which means that you're paying attention to you start paying attention to all these things. Well, you've already started. As a matter of fact, that's what got you here was paying attention to what you were saying and what you were doing. So all of these things will work together so that you can start to manifest yourself in the world as a self-creative process. And you can recognize when your thoughts and your actions are reinforcing the aspects of who you are that you don't want to continue to be. And you can replace those with the kinds of thoughts and actions that will cause you to become the person that you want to be.
I think it also comes back to the practice that what I feel inside, it permeates out.
Yeah.
I see out here what I feel in here.
That's right.
And
yeah.
So the process then is that as I change in here, that it will put, everything I see out here will support what I feel in here.
That's right. Yes.
And that's the equanimity. That is that. And there's that's what I'm feeling now is there's a great disconnect,
mm-hmm.
or it's growing wider, I guess, because as I'm looking, as I'm changing in here, I am seeing it shift out here, and
right.
Yeah, that's it. So I hear and I feel what it is that you are saying. Like
mm-hmm.
I comprehend it on all levels. That statement.
Yeah. That's wonderful. And see, that is the foundation that replaces the one that you're getting rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And your thought is to realize that, to actually directly experience that causal interconnectedness. You need to move out of the sun. Or else have so much patience, you wait till the sun moves. And
yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. My action will serve
the
purpose here.
Yeah. You either take your hand off the hot pot or you wait long enough till it cools down. Anyway. See that you're interconnected with everything and everyone everywhere, but most especially with what's close to you. And whatever you do in here is going to affect everything around you. And this starts to replace this new, this is the new you, that instead of being this separate, distinct entity, interacting with these other separate, distinct entities, and of course sometimes getting very angry and frustrated when those other entities wouldn't do what you want.
Right.
You begin to realize that it's all part of one whole, and you begin to see yourself as the part that has its role to play in everything that's happening.
Right. And one practice that I have put to the test has been that no action is action. And that has served me in this process very well, in that I've learned to just choose not to act.
Yes.
That whatever's going to go on simply plays itself out.
Yeah.
And I'm just a witness. And that's very new for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be in control. And I want to, like with anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So even just being mindful of this, like, hey, this is the way you used to do it. Do it differently and see what transpires. And so far, it has that's like I think concrete evidence for me that
mm-hmm.
changing that pattern into something that's more positive does serve
mm-hmm.
a better purpose, or maybe not better, but it does have a greater value in assisting me in being more mindful.
Yeah.
So yes.
This is wonderful. I'm so happy for all of these things that you're all of these insights that you're having. They are wonderful, and there is some discomfort associated with it, but
of course there is. Like I don't want to. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, no, where is that? And I tell you, this is the craziest thing. The feelings of desire that I have, I can feel them as if it were like a drug or a poison.
Yes.
I can feel, and here, like an example is like, Craig has seen me suffering. He's like, oh my gosh, like you seem so heartbroken because of this other person. And I'm like, I can just see you suffering. And it is so true. And there's that addictive quality to suffering that you want more because I understand the perpetual cycle.
Yes.
And Craig was so kind enough to help pull me out. And I'm left with just like, I feel like I'm detoxing from like a intense, like I was on heroin or some, or just some crazy drug. I mean, it feels just real. It is real. And so that is one of the eye-opening things of like, oh, not about being weak, but how you can truly succumb to these desires and lose yourself in that and just go in a different way. So for that, it's real. Like,
yeah.
Being like drawn in with all that is very real. So, yes. There we go. I've never done heroin. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's like, whoa, it's intense.
It's like everything that you would imagine it to be.
Yes. Exactly. There we go. Okay. Right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much for, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here.
Well, thank you, because it's so wonderful to hear this. And yes, would anybody else like to say anything?
So part of what I was hearing you say, it sounds a bit like in myth as the hero's journey, that you're going through this change and in the change you're coming to this place of the void, of emptiness, of uncertainty, of not knowing. And it's a beautiful place to be, and it's also like a really frightening place to be in my experience, because one can get stuck in that place, in the void itself. And and so there's something else that comes to mind about the journey that we're all on, and that's acceptance. Accepting what is, accepting this moment, accepting that I may fail again, but I can still be kind to myself and accept and begin to make change in my life. That, for lack of a better word, is moving more towards a more positive experience. And therefore, it reduces my suffering, and if my suffering is reduced, then there's less suffering for someone else that I may be reacting or interreacting with from my old pattern, my old belief. And I'm very grateful for the conversation. I'm very grateful for your willingness to ask these questions and to share part of your personal experience on that journey. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's take a break and we'll come back and sit together, okay?